السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to my first solo episode. So I've been considering doing this for a while because Alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, in 2024, I was able to buy the equipment and move the studio to my house. And I really want to be able to take advantage of it and release as much content. No, بس أبيسو, please. You guys know the drill, the cat. And to release as much content as I can, but in... with purpose and with value. And it actually enables me and allows me to do more research, to spend more time educating myself and nurturing my soul with, you know, sermons and certain shuyukh and certain books and all of that. So subhanallah, I mainly do it for selfish reasons because it pushes me to want to fill my mind with more knowledge and to deepen my relationship with Allah. And subhanallah, the feeling of yalla, let's do this hit me. Now, I have an hour before I need to leave the house for dinner. And I was like, you know what, Layla, just go out of your way and do it. So bear with me, please. And if you guys have any feedback at all, let me know. I really want to do this right. But I also, like I said, want to do it with a purpose, inshallah. So 2025 is heavy on my deen. It is a year that I'm fully dedicating to Allah. I just need, it's beyond a want, it is a need. This need to just be as close to Allah as possible. And subhanAllah, we all have our vices, as this is known, and we all have our virtues. And I know my vices pretty well, and I pray on them. And I really pray that Allah gives me the strength to overcome certain things and shed old layers and old habits and old skins. So what I wanted to discuss for today was, Bismillah, things that I learned in 2024. Because these are things that truly... shaped my life. They changed how I viewed myself. They changed how I behaved with others, what I expected from others, what I expected from myself, and just subhanallah, God's hand in every single thing, in every single second, in every single moment of my life, truly just carrying me without me even realizing it. And subhanallah, what do they say? Hindsight is always 20/20, and agreed. But I would like, alhamdulillah, hindsight of the past 30 years. But like I said, time and time again, I'm turning 30 in March. And my future needs to be 2020. Everything moving forward needs to be genuinely to the best of my abilities without giving myself and my ego excuses. It's bilax, I want to give my soul some mercy. We're always giving our ego excuses for why we accept certain behaviors or for why we allow ourselves to go back into old habits and patterns and why we give people the benefit of the doubt. But I'm done giving my ego excuses. This year is more about giving my soul the mercy it deserves and the empathy it deserves. And that's where we're at. So I just thought I'd film a cute little video for you guys and we can go over what I learned in 2024. And you guys need to let me know in the comments what you learned in 2024. Because subhanAllah, we're all just realizing things. If you guys know that reference, then you're my age. But it was absolutely the year of certain realizations and certain awakenings and certain hard truths that I had known in my soul for such a long time. But they only came to fruition and truly were set in stone this year. And I cannot credit anyone but Allah. Because subhanAllah, you wake up one day and it's things you've always known, but you finally genuinely understood what they mean. And your soul is now aligned with your ideology and suddenly it all makes sense. But enough of my gibberish. We'll go into it. I have a little list. So this episode will be however long this episode is. But I'm really excited for this. So things I learned in 2024, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first one is not allowing things to linger longer than they should. How do I explain this in the simplest ways? In this case, it applies to people, for me personally. There are certain people and situations with these people that I, from the get-go, the second it started to feel messy and look messy and behave messy, then it's messy. But I was just denying the messy despite it being so clearly evident in front of my eyes. Because of that, giving the ego excuses. You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You want and you want and you want. So I allowed certain patterns and certain behaviors and certain situations with people to linger way longer than they needed to. When my soul knew from the start, I recognize this pattern. I can clearly see the end of this. I know where this is going to go. I just need to nip it in the bud. And out of full transparency and full honesty, out of just pure fear, out of a lack of faith in myself, out of the fear of the unknown, out of the, I don't want this to end in tears and in flames. So I would stop myself from doing what I know I needed to do. And lo and behold, the result is still the same. It will still end in tears and in flames. SubhanAllah. So one of the things that truly just I had to cement in my brain for 2025 was that I cannot allow things to linger on longer than they need to. It's doing myself and the person I'm dealing with a disservice, because you have to look at where it's stemming from, right? Even if you think this person is lovely or is great or is gonna help you in life or they're a godsend, if it's time to separate, it's time to separate, and that's completely fine. These things happen. It's such as life, you know. This is just a part of life. This is just how Allah decreed it. But when I allowed them to linger longer than they needed to, it actually ended up biting me in the butt, because it just exacerbated and got worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, it just blows up in your face. So I've learned that I cannot allow things to linger longer than they need to. Not allowing things to linger longer than they should is an art. And it's a difficult art to master, because it's that fine line and dance between giving someone enough grace and then allowing yourself enough grace to recognize this no longer serves me. And it's not out of malice or out of ill will, but it's just such is life, and I just need to nip this in the bud and keep it moving. But if I allow it to linger, all it's going to do is fester and create resentment and anxiety and just destroy your life. Truly, it destroys you from the inside out, and you just need to recognize. And this is a sort of respect when you recognize that certain things, be it a relationship, be it a situation, have a lifeline, and we need to respect that that lifeline has now come to an end, and that is absolutely okay. So that's where I'm at. I'm just not going to allow things to linger longer than they need to. So SubhanAllah, what did I tell you guys before? When you make a claim, Allah tests you on that claim. When you make a claim, the universe comes back to check you. And by the universe, I mean everything that Allah has created, that is this life that just happens, like situations, things that lead to whatever situation. This is Allah. This is Allah's universe working the way He decreed. But Bismillah. What was I saying? I can't remember what I was saying. When you make a claim. I'm sorry, guys. Let me just drink some water. Alhamdulillah. Oh, I'm getting a little... Apparently, there's a flu going around. Hi, baby. Oh, my cats are so beautiful. God bless their souls. I really love them. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, alhamdulillah, love them. So I have said this before. Excuse me, guys. Forgive me. So I have said this before, is that you really... really, really need to be careful of the claims that you make, because somehow, one way or another, whether you like it or not, shit, I'm a bit, the truth will come calling, and you will have to stand true and strong in front of the claims that you've made and prove that what you claimed is true, and you're not just talking and you're not just lying, and you are a man or woman of your word. So when you make a claim, like, I will not allow things to linger on longer than they need to, you will be faced with that situation where you need to come correct and prove that I said what I said and I meant what I meant. And SubhanAllah, that is exactly what happened. And I'm currently facing a situation where I feel like I swallowed soof. Woo! Oh, alhamdulillah. Oh, sorry guys, I feel something's going on. But yeah, I'm currently facing a situation where I can sense it's about to get messy, and I can sense someone's taking me for granted, and I can sense someone's trying to walk all over me, and it just needs to be nipped in the bud. And that is exactly what I will do in Taha, because I made a claim. I promised Allah something, and I just need to stand by what I promised, what I prayed for. So it starts and ends with us, truly. Okay, now, that's number one, not allowing things to linger longer than they should. Ah, there's the floof. The floofy floof is everywhere. Bismillah. Okay, this is an interesting one. And this is something that I learned in 2024. And I've always known this. So back to what I said at the beginning of this video. So, by the way, I'm not looking straight at the camera because it's the weirdest thing in the world for me. I'm just used to looking there at my guest or my baba. So I'm kind of going between here and there. But bismillah. So like I said in the beginning of this video, there are things that we've always known, but one day it just hits you and it's solidified and it's set in stone in your soul, and you know it as a truth, as a solid, hardcore, non-negotiable, I know it in my bones, this is a truth kind of truth, right? And it is, a friend to all is a friend to none. And I will tell you exactly why that statement rings insanely true. A friend to all is a friend to none, because effectively what you are doing is you are choosing your comfort zone and your people pleasing over genuine, deep, raw, uncomfortable relationships such as a friendship. Because genuine friendship is, I will stand by you no matter what. I am ride or die for you through thick and thin. You come calling, I come running. And it's vice versa, but that is the essence of friendship that is so rare to come by these days. And that's why when we have the blessing and the miracle of finding it, we hold on to it for dear life. But a friend to all is a friend to none, because effectively what you are choosing is, you are choosing to people please everyone. You are choosing to satisfy your ego. You are choosing temporary happiness and bliss over deep, raw, hard-working relationships. And yes, relationships are hard. Friendships the most, because there is no gain except for the sheer presence of your pleasure. The sheer pleasure of your presence. I'm so sorry. The sheer pleasure of your presence. And it's that's just what it is. And there is no if, ands, or buts. Sometimes things just need to be that simple. I don't need to hear how, why, and if, when you couldn't be a good friend to me. Because you don't need to hear why, and if, when, how I couldn't be a good friend to you. And it's just, this is where we need to hold each other accountable, right? So a friend to all is a friend to none. And I'll reiterate it. A friend to all is a friend to none. Because effectively what you are doing is you are choosing your comfort, your impulsive bliss and momentary moments of happiness over the hard work and the raw discomfort it takes to build deep and meaningful relationships. You are choosing people pleasing. You are choosing being invited into every room. You are choosing being passive, because that's what you are. You are passive when you are a friend to all, when you haven't shaken things up, when you haven't called someone out on their bad behavior because they hurt someone who is dear and near to you. And that is not a friend to anyone. That is a jack of all trades, and that is someone who will throw you under the bus the second it has to do with them being able to be friends with everyone and seem picture perfect in front of people. And it's a dangerous person to be around, because they seem comfortable, they seem unproblematic, they seem easy to be around and very agreeable. But subhanAllah, they really are some of the most vicious people who flip and who hurt you the most. So a friend to all is a friend to none, and it's just that simple. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's just that simple. So that's where I'm at with that. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. And this is something else that I've learned in 2024. The friend of my enemy is actually not my friend. And I will tell you why. It is human nature to gossip, especially amongst women. we sit, we spill the tea, we talk some stuff. And gossip is actually, subhanAllah, it is a sin, but it is one of the sins that I tend to forgive easily, because I can understand being caught up and being in a space and saying something, especially if we had a falling out or if it was just the situation. I understand gossip, truly. And I actually do not take it personally. And alhamdulillah, it took a very long time to reach that point. But the friend of my enemy is actually not my friend, because I've reached the point in life where you need to be a soldier, because I'm a ride or die soldier. And if you're comfortable with someone who has now become an enemy, and someone becomes an enemy when they've gone out of their way to attempt to hurt me, when they've gone out of their way to attempt to ruin my reputation, when they've gone out of their way to be vindictive and malicious towards me, that you have now earned the title of enemy. And if you as my friend, that doesn't rub you the wrong way, that doesn't bother you, that doesn't move something in your soul where you think, this is my friend and this person is actively hurting them, and you choose to remain friends with them because you want to remain Switzerland and remain neutral, you are just a liar. You are just a fake friend. You serve no purpose in my life. And you are so comfortable being around someone who's so comfortable hurting me. And that begs the question, why on God's good green earth would I tolerate you remaining in my life? I just simply would not. Anyone in their right mind simply wouldn't. And subhanAllah, I had done a video about forgiveness and forgetting, and someone commented something, and it raised a really interesting conversation between my father and me, because I read my father's answer under my video and the comments. I was talking about forgiveness, the difference between you forgive but you don't forget, and that fine line, and what is it that we should forgive and shouldn't, what we should forget and we shouldn't. And naturally, with people and their egos and their virtue signaling, someone had commented, oh, but Jesus forgave. And yes, Isa alayhi salam forgave, but this is what my father answered in the comments. He did. He was the most forgiving, but he did not linger around his enemies. So I will not linger around mine. Msamihtak dunya wa akhra. I forgive you in this life, the next, and from my side, I wash my hands of you. You are in the hands of Allah. And I do not want to see you suffer. It's that saying of, I want to see you eat, just not at my table. Because I am not a fool, and I do not linger around my enemies. Because that's just foolishness. And if you want to paint it under the brush of, no, you're just kind and you're forgiving, the way I view it is, you are a fool. You do not sit around enemies. You do not enter the viper's den when you know it's a viper's den. That's just, if you get bit, you have no one to blame but yourself. And subhanAllah, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, truly. So yeah, the enemy, the friend of my enemy is actually not my friend. Y'all need to get out of here with that. I don't get it. I can't, if someone, like Sarah, for example, she's truly just an angel. May Allah bless this woman, dunya wa akhirah. She's a beautiful, beautiful soul. She's been on this podcast many a time. And this woman has come into my life at a time where I really was just praying for a godly woman, for a woman who knows Allah, or at least is attempting to know Allah, as we all are. And I can't imagine someone upsetting her, or someone hurting her, or someone going out of their way to belittle her or destroy her, and I would be okay with that person. I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but that just doesn't make sense to me. That's my girl. That's someone who is going out of their way to always help me. That is someone who prioritizes me. That is someone who calls me daily. That is someone who I trust wholeheartedly. That is someone who brings me closer to Allah. That is someone who reminds me to pray. That is someone whose company I just enjoy, because it's quite heavenly. And I can't imagine someone hurting a soul that I love and me being okay with it. I don't know how people sleep at night behaving that way. It's just, it's beyond me. But subhanAllah, I will say one thing. Sometimes not understanding how vicious and evil and demonic people can be, alhamdulillah, it is such a blessing that I don't understand why your brain works that way, and that I don't understand how you could possibly be so comfortable hurting someone, how you could possibly be so comfortable ruining people's lives. I can understand where it comes from a psychological perspective, but on a human spiritual level, I don't understand how you could behave that way. And I think it is a blessing from Allah. And I pray, inshallah, I never understand why it is that that is your modus operandi, why it is that your MO is as it is, why you move that way. I never want to get it. And I'm very okay. That's one of the things I will tell you I'm very okay not understanding. I'm very comfortable with that. So that's that. And then speaking of Sarah, where I told you she reminds me to pray, and we've really encouraged each other to get on that deen and get on the salah. 2024 taught me the importance of prayer. Ya Allah, it's praying has almost nothing to do with God and everything to do with you. Not in the sense that Allah isn't the at the forefront of my brain, inshallah, when I'm praying, but just that He doesn't need me. But I'm so special that He made me and allowed me to pray to Him. And it's such a humbling thing to understand, because I am nothing without my prayer. And I don't want to be anything without my prayer. It blows my mind when I think of the days I didn't pray, because Allah gave me life and I cannot humble myself enough to pray to Him. It's embarrassing, honestly. I'm ashamed of what I used to be, and I'm so grateful that I am praying now and I am on that deen, and I swore to myself not a day will go by in 2025 where I don't pray. But it's a balm on every wound I've ever had. Prayer is a medicine. It soothes every aching part of me, every gap in my soul that has been embedded in me through life and through experiences and through this dunya that's designed to test you. The only thing that has truly begun to cure and to heal, just heal it from the inside out, is salah, is just the prayer, is just trying to get to know my God who has blessed me with this life that I'm so egotistical. I had the blessing of being able to complain about it. I had the blessing of being able to complain about being alive. It's the most humbling thing I've ever been through. And I'm so grateful that I finally recognized that what salah is, and that it's life is meaningless without it. And I don't want to understand the meaning of life without my prayer. I don't care. It's not something that interests me. So that's the importance of salah. Now, another thing I really, really learned is the importance of giving back. And so zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. I believe it's the fifth pillar, if I'm not mistaken. And my dear friend Fadi, and if you guys follow me on Instagram, you know this, the Giving Family, we meet every Sunday in Dubai until inshallah Ramadan, where we meet every day of the month. And just this idea of my hand being so open to giving, that everything Allah has blessed me with, I have a deep-rooted need to share it with the people that I love and the people that are less fortunate than I. And the more I've opened my hand, the more Allah has put in my hand. And they tell you that when your fist is closed, you're unable to give, but you're also unable to receive. And when your hands are open, you are able to give and you're able to receive. And subhanAllah, to me, even just the significance of that we pray like this, our hands are always open towards Allah and this beautiful universe that He's created for us, so that we're able to receive His blessings and His gift. But in order for that to remain a truth and a reality in your life, and for that to grow and for you to receive more of His unlimited blessings, you have to give back. This life doesn't move without blessed people blessing others, because this dunya is filled with people that are way less fortunate than we are, way less blessed than we are, with such limited resources, with a life we could not even handle for 24 hours. And giving back is not a gift to them. Of course it is, alhamdulillah, a blessing, and their prayers answered through Allah if you're lucky enough to be that vessel. But it is a blessing for you. It is a gift to you from Allah if you are able to give his ummah and better it. So the art of giving back and the gift of giving back, it needs to be your number one priority in life. It is the reason it is one of the five pillars of Islam. And it's not a mistake. SubhanAllah, God does not make mistakes. Definitely not. So that's what I'll say about the importance of giving back. And of course, I've said this before, the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, no one was as giving as him. No one was as kind as him. No one was as generous as him. No one was as doting, as sweet, as attentive, as many positive adjectives as you want, as him. And he lived in service of others, of this ummah that he cried over before we even arrived here. So giving back is giving back. You can't, I'm sorry, if you're not giving back, you're doing something wrong. You can't make it logical to me. You won't be able to justify, you won't be able to make me understand why you are not giving back. I just won't get it. And I don't want to get it because it is what it is. Okay. Bismillah. Another thing that I learned is the door is open, goes both ways. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. The door is open, goes both ways is one of the things that I had to kind of maneuver with me maybe taking a step back and asking, am I being unreasonable? Am I the problem? That kind of thing. You know how the door is open, you can go, but the door is also open to receive. And it's one of the things that I really am trying to better myself at is sometimes I don't allow myself to receive, especially as a woman. I've become hardened a little bit by life and having to start my own companies and to take care of my family and to be the breadwinner by the grace of God, alhamdulillah. It kind of hardens you where you're not so much open to receiving certain things from people or what may be deemed as help because you're kind of a go-getter and I'm just, khalas, no one's done it for me before, I'm going to do it myself. And I've realized that I don't allow myself sometimes to receive because it doesn't arrive in the way that I expect it to or the way that I want it to. But sometimes it's just not up to me. Actually, not sometimes, all the time. It's up to Allah. And if Allah deems that He wants to give me a blessing in the way that He wants to give me a blessing, then He wants to give me a blessing in a way that He wants to give it to me. And it's not up to me to dictate how Allah chooses to bless me. It is entirely up to me to just accept the blessing with as much grace as possible and be grateful beyond belief that He's even chosen to bless me today, tomorrow, and every day. It's just that simple. Like I said, simplicity. Sometimes we just need to simplify things. And I really needed to learn to let go of what I deemed was the right thing for me. Because Allah knows better and He knows best. And I had to take a step back and say, you know what, Allah, I'm ready, for example, to make money. I'm ready to have a good girlfriend in my life. I'm ready to have this or that or whatever. But you know better. Maybe there's something even better out there for me that I haven't even conceived, that I haven't thought of. So I'm allow me to be open enough to receive the better that you have planned for me. And it takes practice and it takes time. But it's that's the kind of surrender that I believe Islam pushes us towards and strives us to encompass and embody, because it's just the simple art of trusting in Allah. Just trusting in Allah fully, you know? So alhamdulillah. Alrighty. And then it takes us to the next point, which is never object to what Allah has planned. Yeah, I'm going to just leave it at that. I don't want to add to that because I think I made it clear. And I've spoken about that before. But just not objecting to what God has planned, because maybe He has something better planned for you, as we know. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٌ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And then the last thing, and this might be the most important thing I've learned in 2025. Do not ask Allah about tomorrow when He hasn't asked you about it Himself. Why are you worried about what is to come tomorrow, what Allah may or may not bless you with tomorrow, the struggles you may or may not face tomorrow, the gifts that He may bless you with or may not bless you with tomorrow, when He does not ask you about tomorrow? He just asks you for your five prayers today. today. Just wake up and make the decision. Today, I just need to make it through the day and pray 5 times. Today, I just need to make it through the day and give someone, even if it's 10 dirhams. Today, I just need to make it through the day and remember Allah. Today, I just need to make it through the day and say Alhamdulillah. Why are you pestering Allah about tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow when He Himself has not concerned you with tomorrow? He asks you about your good today. He is concerned about your life today, because all that we have is today. Tomorrow does not belong to us. We're lucky if we're blessed to see tomorrow. You're lucky if you're blessed to see tomorrow. So you just need to wake up every day and make a decision. I just need to make it through today. I just need to pray my 5 prayers today. I just need to remember Allah today. And that in itself is enough. And if you're able to do that, you wake up the next day and you do it all over again. And it's just, this is how you live simply. This is how you live as a Muslim. This is how you just surrender. Islam, that's surrender to Allah. It's a gift. It really is. So that's it. These are the things that I learned in 2024. Alhamdulillah, it was a beautiful year. A lot of openings from Allah and his, like I said, unlimited treasures and blessings. A lot of tests, of course, as we're meant to go through, because such is life, and I'm not in the business of trying to change life the way Allah decreed it to be. And a lot of lessons. And C.S. Lewis, what did he say? Life or lessons, the most life, the most brutal of lessons, but you learn, like, what is it? I'm going to actually Google it. But you experience, I remembered it now. Oh. Experience is a brutal teacher, but you learn, my God, do you learn? This is what C.S. Lewis said. Experience is a brutal teacher, but you learn, my God, do you learn? Letting go of fighting what you go through and just going through the experience and recognizing that there is a hikmah there. There is a wisdom. There is something that Allah is pushing you to see and to open your eyes to. And yes, experience is a brutal teacher. It's brutal and it's testing and it's agonizing at times. You feel like your soul is going through a meat grinder. But the lessons that ooze out of it at the end are priceless, because you're able to go about your day wiser. If you're lucky, closer to God and more grateful and more humbled. And then by the grace of Allah, your experiences are then bettered because you've now learned. But it just, it's that, it's a necessity. It's a necessity in this life to go through these things. So alhamdulillah, you know, this too shall pass, such as life. Everything will pass. Everything will pass. But by the grace of Allah, maybe we handle this too with a little bit more grace before it passes. And that's my goal for 2025, is just to handle life with as much Muslim grace as humanly possible. So heavy on my deen, unapologetically Muslim. And I will continue to do this for as long as Allah allows me to do this. So yeah, that's it. Just going to be unapologetically Muslim. That's my motto for 2025. Unapologetically Muslim. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you liked it. Please tell me your lessons of 2024, what you're excited for in 2025. And then that's it. If I didn't touch on everything, it's fine. And also, don't what about me in the comments. But what about this? It doesn't matter. Just simplify it. What about you cross that bridge when you get to it? If it's a situation that has a what about, you handle it differently. But anyway, that's it. So 2025, unapologetically Muslim. And I will leave you with that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Fi amanillah, guys. Thank you so much.